What's going on, guys? Welcome to the show. We're back. We're back with a full panel doing this on our regular timed night. Only one episode tonight. It is episode 4 of season 2 of Preacher, titled Victor. We can't wait to break the whole thing down for you guys. Hang out with us. We'll see you in just 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, it's the song from the show.
It's like we picked it.
What's up, guys?
What's
Welcome
up?
Back. Oh, I'm too fast.
No, I like it. This song was everything to me. And now it's...
And now we're back. For those of you that just missed it on audio, you know, we were just dancing to the song. It was pretty awesome. We're back. It's AfterBuzz TV talking Preacher, Season 2, Episode 4, Victor. There's a lot to talk about. This show is rolling along, and I have to say I'm very excited. As you guys said last week, the action continues. They're not slowing the pace down. I feel like they're definitely giving us the show we wanted in Season 1, and we're four episodes deep, and I don't feel like we're getting fooled. I feel like... You know, this is the real thing.
Agreed.
This is the real. Yeah. Not going to catfish us, are they?
Feeling very rewarding already.
Definitely. Definitely. As a huge fan of the comic book and also just of season one, you know, we definitely are getting what we want here. So, guys, thanks for tuning in. It is, as I said, season two of Preacher here on AfterBuzz. I know there's been a little bit of a mix-up these last few weeks because the show aired on Sunday and then got pushed to Monday. And with the holiday, we had to do two at once last week. But we're back. We'll be here every single Monday, same time, same place. So expect us here if you want to check us out. Let's start with the panel. We have a guest panel. I've worked with you before.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Lucretia.
Hey, guys. I'm Lucretia Lyon. You can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And I just apologize profusely for not being MR Dave Child.
Nobody is MR
Dave
Child. And, you know, this four episodes on the same panel. We still haven't actually been in the same room together, so I'm excited to work with you for the first time.
Yeah.
Matt Marr, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm happy to be here. You can find me at the Matt Marr, 2 T's, 2 R's, on all the socials.
And my man, what do you got for us?
What's going on, guys? It's Nate Miller. I'm glad to be here again. You can find me on all social media at DogLikeNate. And I would like to point out, I am the one survivor that has made it to every after show.
I know, that's what I was saying.
So hopefully I can keep this strain going. That's right.
That's why you were my man this episode, because you've been holding it down. You've been holding it down every week.
Doing my best.
Yeah, exactly. And the resident comic book fan, so you've been holding that
down.
That's
right, yes. Well, Dave Childs and I, you know, had a great conversation last week.
Definitely. I watched the show. And guys, you can find me at Ben Bateman Media. My name is Ben Bateman on Twitter or Instagram, what have you. So let's talk about the episode, guys. This was titled Victor. The character Victor turns out to be Tulip's husband. Which is not, and I should point out, by the way, we will do spoilers at the end of the episode. So anything we do know that's comic book based, we always make sure to wrap around at the end and do kind of a, if you don't want to hear this, we'll talk about it at the end. But if there are things we know, we'll be vague about them during the episode. This is not about the comic book, it's about the TV show. This was new information just in general. We didn't know this in the context of the show at all. And we did get Paul Ben Victor. It's actually the name of the actor.
Really?
Yeah, he's a classic character actor. He's shown up in like a lot of big time premium cable shows. So he's very well known for The Wire season 2. Mm-hmm. That's where I first saw him. Spiros. He's the Greek. He's a great character. He's in Entourage.
Yeah, that's where I know him from.
Yeah, and there's a bunch of other stuff. He's in a sweet movie from the 90s called Point Blank with Mickey Rourke.
That's like it's
a horrible movie.
Yeah.
But
I haven't seen that movie forever.
He's like a really, really flamboyant villain who's just totally outrageous. He's awesome. The movie's bad. But anyway, I was excited to see him because I like him in general, and I thought I just liked him being introduced in this episode. So that's where we start, is that Tulip gets picked up because she's run off, and we have no idea what's happened.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't let us know. I mean, I've said I'm working on reading the comic because I was waiting to ask y'all if I would be spoiled or not. So if someone who didn't know, like, I thought we weren't going to, we even kind of talked during the show, I thought we weren't ever going to find out what the hell was going on.
It
was kind of a tease.
Yeah, it definitely did seem a little bit like the Carlos reveal from season one for a little while.
Yeah,
we were just going to keep talking about a part of Tulip's history that we didn't know about, and they were just going to keep dangling it. But in the end, I think this was just a vehicle to illustrate that, A, like, Jesse can just take people down when he needs to. Like, no one's going to stop Jesse when it comes to trying to get the Tulip.
Mm-hmm.
And B, also, that there is more to Tulip's story than, again, just being Jesse's girlfriend. And I think they're really stressing that in this show, which is great. It's nice to see him develop her character like that.
Yeah, I think they've already put a lot of effort into making her interesting and mysterious. So I definitely am happy to see that it's coming to pay off and that we're seeing some progress in this story arc, and they're right. not just like dangling it for us to just be waiting on and waiting on.
Yeah, and too, a lot in the comics is they sort of display Jesse as, you know, this guy who was sort of above her and she needed him and stuff like that. When I like how they portray Tulip on the show as being more of an independent woman, and yes, this does have to do with another husband, but this is something completely from Jesse, and that's what, you know, she often lacked in the comic books. It's great with the character now. And two, I like that it sort of established that Cassidy seemed more concerned about her being gone than Jesse, and right. that sort of ties in to is Jesse really good for Tulip?
Well, I think to play devil's advocate, I think a lot of that has to do with the amount of time that Jesse and Tulip have spent together and the things that they've been through versus Cassidy.
Yeah.
Did you have your high maintenance friends that are calling you and you're like, girl, you're going to be fine. They're like, tomorrow, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you all this advice. You're not going to take it. And the next week, you're fine. So I felt more of that from Jesse, that he was like, and he even said, like, this is how she is. This
she
is
can what take she's going to do. Yeah,
I think obviously, and then we saw that kind of towards the end, how much he does love her. Where Cassidy, this is all new for him.
Yeah, also, but it feeds into Cassidy being in love with Tulip, which is something they're playing up and they're making sure to play up. Yeah, talk about Tulip's history. I think it's great that they're doing it the way they're doing it. Without getting into super specific details, the way the comic book is set up is that they use specific issues to take you back in time for the most part to show you history.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like this where like it's the history is connecting to the present so much. It's more like this is where Tulip grew up. This was her friend in college. This is how she learned how to shoot guns kind of stuff. Ooh. And they're like very, very self-contained little bits of history. They kind of do it for all the characters, but her very specifically. And I think in the end, it would have been a mistake to do that for this show. That those sort of, what are those called? Ship in a bottle. Bottle episodes, I think they're called. Mm-hmm. Where they just exist as like one story. Mm-hmm. So I think it's good they're connecting it to the present and we're getting that connection. All of our characters, you know, it's all connecting up for the story. I do have to say I was a little bit disappointed we didn't get Hare Star back. I'm just itching for more Grail and more Star. He's like my all-time favorite preacher character.
I mean, I think, yeah. They definitely knew what they were doing, teasing him, and showing his face. So they're building towards something, and we saw a little bit of the Grail this episode, just a little bit, just a little reminder, but it's coming.
Yeah, so let's jump actually away from this for a second and talk about the Hell storyline, the Arseface, the Eugene storyline. They're not really referring to him as Arseface. Assface was thrown out there tonight, but he doesn't have a proper title that's like he is just referred to as Arseface yet. He's still Eugene. He's still Assface, beating up Hitler.
Beating up Hitler.
Yeah, the Hitler thing. What do you guys make of the Hitler thing? It's so bizarre.
I love it because it just sort of came out of nowhere, but it's almost perfect because it's almost a big Bill Hicks joke. Like, to me, that's all I could think of. It's like, yeah, that Hitler really wasn't that bad. And, you know, that there are things in his life that led up to that and just sort of making jokes about that. That's what I grew up hearing. So it's funny that they're sort of going with that, especially being a comic that was initially, you know, based in Texas and things like that. But just having Eugene sort of befriend Hitler and then see the camera and be like, I guess I have to beat up Hitler. It feels very supernatural to me.
You guys mentioned last week that you can see the Rogan humor at points.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's funny because, like, this feels so much like Seth and Evan sitting around and just being like, so he should be in hell and Hitler should be there. Yeah. And Eugene should just become, and Hitler should just be kind of a sissy.
Yeah, he's not a dick. He's like, kind of apologetic.
Like, yeah, and I was like, I was like, is Hitler like gay? Like, I couldn't, which I was like, I don't want to know.
And they set him up. He's like, or else what?
Yeah.
And I was like, nothing.
Yeah, and
he's
I love
just a pansy.
Yeah, I love that they're like, this is your worst memory?
Well, there's definitely some more. I think we were about to hit the turn. I'm guessing it's like he actually goes and presents his art and gets shot down or something, and then we see him turn into, you know.
Oh, I don't know. Nazi I don't know if you're right. I actually think that's totally possible that they're trying to make Hitler, like, make him out to be like a pansy, the most boring guy on earth, has no cause to do what he did, who's just the worst, and just like. Actually just like is this evil person, and like I think it's actually funny that they're doing it. It's just a bizarre, it's such a bizarre choice to put Hitler in the story.
It's kind of like not a patsy, but just maybe he was just the wrong person in the wrong place at the wrong time,
at least in the context of the show.
Yeah, if they're gonna like
what I told Dave last week And my predictions is that I think that the Hitler character is going to kind of lead Eugene down the path that
sure.
he eventually turns him into the Arseface thing. So especially with this episode with him in the end making the decision to, you know, start beating the crap out of him as well.
Yeah.
We can debate whether or not that's Hitler directly influencing him to right. make him bad, but I think there's more to they've established too much of a connection and dialogue between the two of them for them not to at some point the cells open up again and then talk about like
yeah.
oh you beat me up. And it's like, oh well, I have a feeling that Hitler's gonna be like, oh, you know, you were just doing what you're supposed to do kind of a
right.
thing as
yeah.
opposed to making him feel bad.
Oh yeah, sure. I'm sure that's
Hitler's empathetic.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
on this show. Yeah. I think just, so.
You know, out of context.
Yeah.
Yeah. I almost felt like his face was like, do it, like to
and
Eugene.
Just the minor details
like, yeah.
of like his mustache too in the mm-hmm. flashback, how it's like all full and
yeah.
it's just
yeah.
like okay mm-hmm. and then you know you see it and it's all abrasively shaven and
yeah
you just see the difference.
It's sweet yeah. that it's Noah Taylor playing him. One thing that I've
yes.
really enjoyed is the bigger that shows like this get, where you have these premium cable shows and they become such a part, you start to see these classic movie character actors showing up in them.
Yeah.
Where in the old days of premium television, it was like, clearly that's a TV actor and that's a character actor in Michael Bay movies and there's not mm-hmm. going to be crossover. Whereas like, this guy was most recently like a big character in Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise. Like
mm-hmm.
he's a big time movie actor. So I love that he's playing Hitler. It's mm-hmm. like that instant recognizability.
Well, and then Amy Hill, who's playing, you know, sort of the Warden of Hell.
Yeah,
she's
right.
a big time character actor. And that's what I love about this show. Cause I'm a big fan of any kind of character actor. I mean, Walton Goggins, you know,
yeah,
anybody
right.
like that. I can't wait till he shows up. They've got to put him somewhere. But yeah, just the whole Hitler thing. And it's almost funny because his story is similar to like Charles Manson or something, where he really just killed a bunch of people because he couldn't make it as an artist.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, he couldn't.
We can all identify with that.
And I'm sure they're going to focus just
touch that.
Yeah, they can't.
I can't touch
no.
that.
I mean, well, they could on this show. I just love, to me, it was just such a, what I love about this show for me as someone that's newer to is that anything I anticipate with this show, they're going to actually totally change that. And so it just wasn't something that I thought, like, they would do in hell. I'm interested, like, I want to know who that woman is with the hair in the glass. It's like,
right.
I'm
yeah.
thinking, like, history. I'm like, okay, is that Genghis Khan? I'm
yeah,
like,
right.
trying to, like, think, who are all these, like, terrible, evil people? And then when they had, like, the caveman who were,
yes.
like, good talk, and you're like, oh, yeah, people probably were really jerks then, too. You
yeah.
know?
Yeah. I mean, just for the record, guys, because we are touching on, like, very, very offensive territory mm-hmm. to
yes.
some
yes.
people.
Yes, yes, yes.
If you don't want to have a sense of humor about this, mm-hmm. this could be incredibly offensive. I am Jewish, had a bar mitzvah, both mm-hmm. parents Jewish. So I'm on board as far as the could be offended. I'm just treating it as the context of a television show.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's funny in the context of a television show. Not to be joked about in real life.
Well, I feel like if somebody yeah. just now is getting offended by Preacher, then sugar,
right.
you're just...
Yeah, it's season
you,
two.
You need therapy and
the
figure yourself
show.
Out.
The
yeah.
wrong show.
And two, it's written by two Jewish guys. So,
yeah.
like, they're meaning to make fun
yeah.
of Hitler.
If there's anybody
yeah.
who has,
yeah.
like, a make fun of Hitler past,
yeah.
they've got...
They get it.
It's them.
Yeah.
They've got
it's
a couple.
Them.
So let's talk a little bit about the power going out in hell. I'm trying to figure
yeah.
out
no.
what's going on and why. And so... Heaven and hell, obviously, it's a huge part of the story, and you do get to see these, like, realistic interpretations of, like, this is a real place, you can mm-hmm. take a bus, you get there. And it's and Eugene's not dead, he's just in hell. So one thing I was trying to figure out is Hitler's dead, so he went to hell.
Mm-hmm.
All of these characters you assume are dead, they went to hell. Eugene didn't die, and he went to hell. Which means if Eugene, in theory, can eventually get out of hell, does that mean that Hitler can get out of hell?
I wondered that, actually,
yeah.
a little bit. But I don't know the answer to that.
I would say no. I don't want to speculate too much because this isn't the time for that.
Sure.
But I think that Eugene is related to the issues
okay.
that are going on in hell.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because he's in hell and he shouldn't be. There's
right.
things are screwing up.
And,
right.
you know, Genesis is the most powerful, you know, thing in the universe. I mean, it's
right.
sent, so it could send anybody living dead to
different,
hell. Yeah.
Break different rules.
Sure. Okay.
And
that
two,
makes sense.
And two, I think it was very telling when she has the conversation about God not being there that it may have to do with the fact that, so God is absent, Eugene is in hell, who doesn't, yeah.
You thought she was talking on the phone talking about God?
That's what I thought, too.
I
yeah,
thought
he's
she was
missing.
Talking about the
she's talking about the saint.
Yeah, that's what I feel like,
oh,
the
oh,
saint.
Oh.
Yeah, because she does mention God specifically, but I was like, could it be Saint or Lucifer or God? I mean, that was the thing, is there was a lot of just...
I'm pretty
really
sure she's talking about the Saint
yeah.
of Killers.
Yeah.
It's like a who let him out...
sort of thing.
That's what she said.
Well, that,
yeah, because
that makes sense. I mean, yeah. It could be God, but that makes
yeah,
sense.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah.
I thought God took too.
Yeah, it could right. be. I'm pretty sure it's the saint getting out.
Yeah, because that's the thing. And she's like, well, who let him out? And then, like, she's like, oh, and oh, God? Because that was the line where I was like, either she means, oh, God, he's out, or she's like, you know, oh, God, let
oh,
him
God?
Out.
She right. says, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't she say Jesus, I think? I think she says mm-hmm. Jesus.
She, at the end, no. she says Jesus. She does mm-hmm. say Jesus. Because I remember, like,
yeah, because she does specifically say God.
I'm a bad Catholic. I don't remember.
Yeah. Right, right. So, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, we've got a cool comment here in the chat from Star Drew saying about how the prison setup is very much like Bogus Adventures.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Or Bogus Journey, I mean.
I think it's a really good, you know, way to...
Oh.
Depict it, yeah, especially with the idea of like people having personal hells and stuff. Yeah. So
right.
in their own cells, and there's like a projector that makes them go through it over and over. Okay, it's like a way to ascribe some reality to some
to hell,
yeah,
to
exactly.
some abstract thoughts.
Agreed,
they did a good job.
Agreed. So that pretty much wraps up what's going on there. Let's move to the next part of the story, which I think should probably be Cassidy and Jesse trying to chase down their old man God. And meeting Teddy Gunth, Talent Management, who was a fantastic character.
He was great.
Yeah, he was excellent. And the, like, you know, any time somebody like a Seth or an Evan makes a show, it's like their ability to poke fun at themselves and poke fun at the studio system and actors and auditions, it's obviously all there. And us in Hollywood, we're going to get that so much more
yeah.
than your average watcher. But it was so good. It was so funny. Nobody watched these audition tapes.
Don't forget yeah. about the Frankie Muniz.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
Not only is he there, he's himself.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That was so
great.
Good.
It was yeah. great. I mean, like, again, they're making fun of Hurricane Katrina. Like, yeah. I'm just, like, going... like, I'm going to hell from watching this show. I'm speechless about that because I just... Seth Rogen, man, I just like, wow, that's some balls, dude.
I love the dude's like, yeah. like what's he say? Like, something prostitute? Now I'm a prostitute?
Now I'm
I used to hire prostitutes. Now I'm a prostitute.
And it's just, again, I mean, that's what I like of somebody that I think, you know, things, yeah, I think that we, you know, as a comedian and somebody like who is gay, like I make gay jokes and stuff a lot of time because it, you know, it's kind of like, I love that they're showing, it shows people, you know, that, hey, this is, everything is kind of up in the air. And this show
right.
is everything is up in the air. So I think it's such a. It might not seem subtle, but as somebody who's kind of is a comedian, it is subtle to me because it's there's this always this undercurrent that things are not always things will never be what you think they are.
Right. Yeah. I mean, agreed. I mean, and look, comedy, guys. Let's be honest. Yeah. Like, it's every comedian pushes the bar. So if you're trying to make a black comedy show, like they're gonna push the envelope as much as they can. Before
yeah.
they
well, I mean, it. Especially with the nature of the source material too. Like, it's part of the thing that made Preacher Preacher is that at that time. You didn't put that stuff in comic books.
No.
And if you did, it didn't sell.
Totally.
People didn't read it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and that was the thing. And that's why I loved Preacher growing up is because, you know, well, A, I grew up in East Texas, so a lot of like that stuff I related to. But then the pop culture moments, which really spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I love they throw these little jokes in here that, yeah, you didn't see before mm-hmm. this. And you've got such... good material, and too, Seth Rogen gets to kind of make fun mm-hmm. of Hurricane Katrina because of all the jobs mm-hmm. he's brought to New Orleans with this show and with This Is the End and all the other things.
And just
right?
like what you were saying yeah. was
yeah.
true.
Wow, I just completely lost my train of thought.
What it's all right. Yeah. When she was talking,
what were we talking about?
She was talking about being from East Texas.
I was emotionally moved about giving them all those jobs.
I know. Like, all the
nice
jobs
guy.
He brought to New Orleans.
Frankie Muniz.
Yes.
Huge talent.
Yes.
Huge. I don't even know what he's doing now. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Say
the
it.
Pop culture
yes.
references.
Yes.
That's what you said. Obviously, there's no Game of Thrones reference in the comic book.
Right.
But for yeah. them to bring that into the show is perfect thematically for
right.
the book. It
yeah.
would have been in the book if it was there at the
time.
It's like,
the time.
It's like you guys were talking the Lord of the Rings references. It's
exactly.
like the same thing.
Exactly.
It's,
it just fits so well. And that's when I watch the show and I'm like, all right, the people making this, they get it. They really love the book. So even if they take some liberties and they change some things, I know that they have, you know, the best intentions at heart.
It also, yeah. like, it, what is smart about that show, like when Jesse did say Gandalf, and with it makes those characters who are not anything like us, but it makes them though relatable. Like, you know, right. In that moment, I'm like, oh, I totally would have said something like that too. And I think we all, that's why we love it, because then we feel like, oh, we could sit and like have a drink with these characters, which is not. I've watched a lot of crappy, as y'all probably have too, sci-fi comic book shows where they try to make these people like relatable and they do a terrible job.
Right. Well, it's very much grounded in reality. Like if we were in Texas, we would see them like driving by. Like they're not in an alternate universe or anything like that.
Yes.
They definitely established that really well.
There's also a balance to making specific pop culture references. And I think you can trace this back to... It majorly starts in movies with Quentin Tarantino. That's the that's like the cornerstone example is early on, like Pulp Fiction is like the Bible of that stuff. But then the problem was that in the late 90s and into the 2000s, that became such a self-referential style of movie making and script writing that every filmmaker wanted to do that. And you know, I guess to some degree, Kevin Smith also was a big part of it. Those two guys. And so that in the 2000s, like when people tried to write those characters, they were very flat. They were extremely like these. Do you guys remember the opening scene in Swordfish? You guys remember that?
Yeah.
And Travolta's giving the whole monologue about Dog Day Afternoon and blah, 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 blah. And it's like you watch that today and it's kind of painful to watch because it's just like so heavy-handed. Yeah. Mm. So when a writer now understands how to properly use these things and surprise you with the references, it's like Riverdale does this really well also.
Yeah.
It's just brilliant. It makes you laugh at exactly the right time in exactly the right way.
Because they make it really conversational and very relatable. Because to me, the character of Cassidy, too, is usually the one who does that, just like he sort of was in the comics. Because he is sort of the Garth Ennis, you know, who wrote the book, character as someone who is an immigrant from Ireland, sort of experiencing American culture. So they're typically more likely to say reference a lot because that's how they relate to us. And I always like that he's the one doing it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, part of it what makes it so good is his delivery.
Yeah,
Cassidy's just been consistently on point, but this season especially, like, woo!
Yeah, Joe Gilgan's killing
it.
Yeah,
he's killing it.
AJYT Abbott in the chat was just talking about the Game of Thrones reference. He loved that Cassidy poked fun at HBO and everything. That to me was my favorite scene in the episode.
Totally, yeah. I know.
He just went with it.
15,000
Dinklage flies business. Yeah.
Nobody has that kind of money.
We're not made of money. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I think continuing just the thought that I was having about the pop culture references, I think that this happens a lot of the time, right? It's like something starts out great, it becomes an oversaturation, and then you have to have a really, really smart creator understand how to take that concept and bring it back around to be subtle again. It's like audiences get too smart.
Yes.
You know, look at like, you know, John Wick and like Taken and movies like this that sort of came along and they've like reinvented modern day action movies after 15 years of stale action movies because they got it. They're like, we have to be able to poke fun at ourselves a little bit, right? Like, because the genre got stale. I think everything is that.
I think that's why Wonder Woman was such a big hit, actually.
Yes, agreed.
Because everybody's trying to make things real life, and you either got to go for it all now and do Deadpool and really go there, or you need to go back to, like, hopeful comic books.
Yeah, totally. Completely. So, so they're looking for this dude, and they find his audition tape. They talk to Teddy Gunth about the about booking. I also love that they for the second time, so Cassidy's like, Frank Muniz, huge talent. And then he says the guy's name, and he's like, oh yeah, huge talent. Talking about his actor, it's the same thing. I think he's trying to sell the Cuban guy.
Yeah, he was. I also have to say, I mentioned this too, just for people, because we watch this together, and before we watch the show, there's like some Disney movie with him on it, and I actually literally right before he, and I literally was like, I thought, what happened to that guy? I haven't seen him in years. So I'm telling you, God wants us to watch Preacher.
I read something the other day about Frank Muniz. I think he was a race car driver, what I read.
He drove race cars, and he apparently had had a stroke, some sort of condition, so he was unable to act.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I'm glad he's doing work then now.
Yeah. We see the audition tape. We get the delivery. We actually see this guy be... So he gets shot so he can go to heaven. I was a little confused about what was going on. Were you guys totally tracking it? I was just a little bit like, all right, so that's not actually God. It's a guy that the Grail has hired.
Yeah.
No? It was.
I don't know who's hired.
It's like angels. And from what I got from it is that, you know, if you recall, he's the one when they call heaven. So we know it's actually heaven. They use the God phone, whatever.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then this person who's not God answers and apparently is aware that God is missing and all of those things.
Right.
Especially when he freaks out. So the way I took it is that I'm assuming who are angels or some officers of heaven or something went, all right, either they knew that Preacher was going to call, and so that's why they went looking for a God replacement, or they just went, God's missing, we're going to need one eventually, and so they went
so they find this
on
guy,
a casting call.
They make sure he's good. They kill him so that so he goes to heaven so that he can then film this thing in heaven and to the congregation in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Two, I was really curious is how they vetted him. You know, did they look him up and stuff? Because, you know, was there any guarantee he was going to go to heaven? I mean,
right?
Yeah, that's where I'm like, you know, how they must have just really taken a chance. And if this guy went to hell, what were they going to do?
They seem pretty clumsy in heaven. I feel like they probably just rolled the dice on that one. Yeah. They would have just found another one if he didn't.
Yeah,
I wonder if they may have some type of override privileges of like, no, we're just going to take him straight there. Like, he doesn't have to get on the bus to hell. There's like a private jet.
Well, also in hell, that she's like, I'm looking over your hell file. In theory, maybe in heaven, they can do the same thing. They can look over your file one way or another to see if you're, you know, of sound body and mind for the pearly gates. So this guy ends up in heaven to be this dude or whatever. And then at that point, right after they've discovered this, Cassidy's finally like, you need to listen to me, Tulip's in trouble. And Jesse's like, what are you talking about? And I did love the line when he says, if you had a girl like Tulip, you'd be wasting your time. Mm-hmm. And he says, why? And he says, because she can take care of herself. But I thought like there was something behind that line where I'm like, Cassidy hearing that, it's that like, you're not better than me kind of thing, right?
Mm. Yeah.
Because I know that they're...
I miss that. I mean, I listened, but I miss that. You're right.
I just felt it. It's like, even if he didn't mean it that way...
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was a little,
Yeah, I know that Cassidy would hear it that way. Mm-hmm. Because they are building this. Obviously, Cassidy's so much more aware of Tulip. He's thinking about her all the time. And they're clearly building that into something. It's going to be relevant at some point.
Yeah. And yeah, they didn't get married. Yeah, totally. I think that the show... What I like about Cassidy and Tulip is that, again, because at first I thought, oh, they had, like in the first season, like, okay, they had sex. Now this is going to be a big thing. Is this going to be cliche? But they're doing a smart job, I think, of kind of breaking apart a little bit Jesse and Tulip and potentially putting Tulip and Cassidy in some type of togetherness, whatever that may be, where it would be somewhat believable to me. In some ways, why Tulip might become affectionate for him because Cassidy is so concerned about her.
Yeah, one thing I think is interesting.
I don't know the comics though yet, so.
One thing I think is interesting is like, so part of me thinks when you plant a plot device seasons early and then you take like literally years to connect back to it, part of me is like, that's a good plan. And then there's another part of me like, have we all watched Breaking Bad? Everybody here?
Yes.
Yeah?
I haven't.
Well, all right. There's
what?
I haven't.
Get out.
I haven't.
There's like the big reveal at the end in the final few episodes when Heisenberg's like, I was there that night, and that big reveal when he says the thing to Jesse. And it's like literally 3.5 years later, and this information has been around, and they connect it back 3 or 4 years later. And at the time, it's like, the only reason this works is because this is one of the 5 greatest shows ever made. So I care enough to remember that. If this was any show that was even a little bit less good, I would be like, oh yeah, I guess that happened in season 2. Like, that's like not normal. You don't normally care about shows that you watch so much that you're like, oh yeah, that one plot device from like 4 years ago.
But that wasn't... I get what you're saying. That comparison is just hard because that wasn't just a plot device. That was a big... thing.
Okay,
that's a major plot point in the show.
It's huge. Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing in Dark Knight Rises when Alfred is like, you know, that night she said she was going to go with Harvey Dent. And it's like, callback, but like, is this really necessary?
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
That's a better...
Because I do the recap for Orphan Black.
Yeah.
And so they're starting to like bring some science stuff that we're like, we are literally like Googling, when the heck did this happen? And it was like in season 2. And so it's like, okay, so, you know, and that's still a great show. I don't think it's probably one of the top 5 greatest shows of all time. But so I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying it's unnecessary. I'm just saying I realize that they have planted this device now in season 1. And we're going to be sitting with this information for as long as we need to before they decide to use it. Because they're obviously going to use it. They keep pushing the button every episode.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll happen sooner than later. I don't know.
Yeah, I have a feeling with the pacing so far that it is going to happen sooner or later.
I have a feeling it'll be this season,
honestly a little bit concerned by, because it feels almost too early. But given the pacing, and also because I do think there's going to be some backstory that they just have to cover at some point, that gives us some time. I don't know.
Let's see if they can make it work. Yeah. But save the predictions to really talk that one through. But I think that's an important point to talk through. So, all right, with the final portion of the episode is that Jesse does get to the house. And I love that the two guys are talking. And he's like, yeah, man, I just went overboard. I tried mousse. I tried wax, you know, gel.
What do bald security guards talk about?
He's like, I guess my follicles just gave out. I was like, your follicles gave out, man? That's something that could happen? It's like, that's just great writing. I love it.
Gave up.
So, but yeah, you know what? I've heard that conversation. I've heard like I've heard conversations like that before. So I enjoyed it.
So Jesse goes in, and this is one of my favorite moments in the episode because he just walks in. He's just like, "Let me in! Don't move! Stop! I'm going upstairs." And you're like, "This is what you would in theory do if you had this power. You'd be smart enough to just be like, boom, 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 get me where I'm going. Why would you mess around? Why would you bother talking to people?"
Plus, he also thinks that the saint is not following him anymore.
Right. Mm. So, but he does get upstairs, and he gets whacked in the head by our boy Pat. Right, Pat?
Yes.
Yes, the torture artist.
I loved Pat.
His little acid spray bottle.
He was cute, too.
And his little headphones, and just he was just so jolly about his job, torturing people.
Yeah. He was a good character. Yeah.
I was sad to see him die, actually.
Yeah, agreed. That's like a nice scripted character where you're like, oh, yeah, the writers came up with it. It's not in the comic book. He's not in the comic book. Yeah,
but it's just, again, another perfectly thematic character where, like, even though he only has so much screen time, just the way that he delivers his lines and, you know, the way the fight scene plays out and stuff, it just feels like you know that there's so much more story there.
Yeah.
That we're never going to know. They're not going to go back. I doubt it. But it's just, like, it just fits so perfectly. Like, here's this cool character. Pretty cool, huh? Now he's dead.
He could be alive. He got stabbed through the stomach. He could be alive. Jesse didn't blow his head off.
He could be holding on.
That's a TV wound. Yeah. That's not immortal.
You're right. But I'm just saying, especially in terms of like if we are really getting this road show, you want to feel like even though you don't see all of these characters play out this whole arc, you want to feel like they really exist and they're real where they are.
Right.
So that like even if you know the trio leaves, in our minds things still happen. That's what makes us attach more to them traveling to different places.
Well said.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
But so, yeah, we get this big fight that is filmed to feel like it's supposed to be a single shot fight, but it's not, right? I think we all can agree that there's cutting in that fight.
Yes.
Yeah, it's not a single shot.
There's some cheats.
Yeah, it's entertaining. You mentioned this just off camera, but like when Jesse sees somebody putting something in his ears, he should have the sense at this point to just be like, stop what you're doing. But I get it. He was whacked in the head, so he was kind of like...
I think he was... He was groggy.
Give him a disorientation pass.
Yeah.
But hope after this, if anybody visibly puts something in their ear in front of him and he still tries to use the word on them and is confused when it doesn't work, I'm going to get very upset.
Wouldn't he just be able to yell really loud, too? Like, probably if you yell loud enough, the guy will be able to hear you a little bit.
Yeah, because that's what I thought. They weren't like Bose.
Yeah.
Like, not that this show is sponsored by Bose. Yeah. Or Sony, whatever.
They weren't the best.
They weren't like noise-canceling headphones. They were like little pods.
Right.
Things.
Yeah.
So, and I just flew, so I know that those don't work that well for babies crying. So, yeah, but again, he was out of it. But they're going to have to think of some creative ways for him to not notice people have things in his ears for us to, I agree with you, or that's going to be old real quick.
Well, I mean, that's just a device in writing, and this is the classic version of a Superman who's even a harder one to write about. But
it's like how do we use kryptonite again?
Yeah, mm-hmm. when somebody has that like supernatural level of power, you have to find a way to thwart the power. So it's great that we have the saint who it doesn't work on for now anyway. But this guy throwing on the headphones, I was like, this just isn't believable. Like, you should give me a better reason that Jesse's not using the voice. Like, he wants to fight him or something. Because, like, come on, like, he could just yell and he would have heard him. But so yeah, I thought the fight was pretty sweet though. It's nice that we're getting a sweet fist fight every episode. It's also nice that Tulip just kicks ass.
I think that's why I was a little disappointed, is because the fight last week was so good. It was choreographed, like beat for beat. It was great. It was shot great. And this one, while it was very fun, the music was enjoyable.
Yeah.
You know, the body swinging around and the arm getting chopped off and stuff was nice. It just didn't have the same energy. At least not like what I was looking for. I think my bar for fights is set so high for this show because they've consistently just been knocking it out of the park.
The fight in the pilot is actually sweet. The one in the bar with Donnie.
That's great.
Yeah.
I liked it. I like the way it was shot. Like even when he walked in the house and it's like the zoom close up and everything. And so for me, I like the funniness of it, and I like that what I like about this season is that they're, but as somebody who loves humor, I love that they're able, they're showing you there's actually not, there's nothing that we can't make funny. And they keep impressing me with that.
Right.
And so, which didn't always happen in the first. So there was a lot more kind of brooding. And, but also, too, as somebody, I've been kind of like with Jesse this whole time, I'm like, dude, like, okay, it was a little bit like, da-dum, da-dum, da-dum. He was kind of trying to figure out, right. Oh, well. And I was kind of like, where's this badass? And so then it was nice for me to, like, that he actually was a badass.
Right.
Yeah. As I say, the whole episode, you're like, okay, Jesse, hit somebody. Like, get, you know, do something. And then this fight was fun, and it fit. That was to me. It's like, yeah, it had some missteps, but it was fun, and it really fit.
And,
the character.
And also, it's like, I don't think that Jesse was looking to necessarily use the word once he started fighting, because he didn't go to, like, try to rip the headphones off. I think he wanted to kick the guy's ass. I think that was, because that's how Jesse is.
That's true.
But it's
so
fun.
Go ahead. Yeah.
Well, I was just going to say, that brings us to, you know, what we were talking about before with the love triangle. Mm. Of, as interesting as I think it will be, does Tulip share the same feelings for Cassie that Cassie has for her? Because I don't think so.
Oh, no.
It's just that it was that one-time thing, and that caring that he has for her that causes him to be concerned when they don't know where she is, that Jesse doesn't have, is almost like the exact thing that she's not into. She wants a guy to not worry about where she is and to, you know, run in and beat up a bunch of dudes because that's what she likes.
Knock the door down. Yeah. Try to run the bathroom.
I think, like, it's like when Rachel and Joey got together on Friends. Everybody knew that was a bad idea and wasn't going to last for like 3.
Watching the show right now. Spoiler.
Oh, no. I'm sorry.
I'm a few years late, so.
But you always know it's Ross or Rachel, so there you go.
So this fight happens, and we get, you know, Victor gets choked out by Jesse, and then we find out that Victor's the husband, and that pretty much ends the episode. So I suggest we get into spoilers and a little bit of comic booky predictions.
Okay, okay.
Cool.
Let's do it.
Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert. Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
So I think the first thing we'll do here, guys, is just heads up. We're going to talk regular predictions, the non-spoilers, if anybody has any that are based entirely on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll do a sign-off, just in case you're watching and you don't want to know anything. And then at the end, the very end, we'll spend a couple minutes doing discussion. And we're going to spoil it for you.
I know. I am going to. That is, you know, like, well, and we said this last week, that apparently you've told me, though, if you want to get into the comic, it's not going to spoil the show. So
yeah.
I mean, It may, when you finish it, there may be things that they will use, of course, but so for the way the show is gone, I don't feel like it will be.
But
like
my FOMO is going to overcompensate because I just want to be part of your club.
Like all of the Tulip stuff is not in the book. That's so great. None of that could be spoiled.
And our space is totally different as far as the backstory and stuff that you get.
There's only little bits and pieces thus far that are. Oh, and the saint is walking, but whatever. Yeah. We knew that. So so let's do any actual predictions that are based entirely on the show that we can get. I don't really. It's a difficult ask when you have read the books to make them that are entirely like
comic book spoilers.
I would. I mean, I think my first one is that. I don't think that that Eugene is going to be in hell for too much longer. I get the feeling he's going to get out. I think they're using that storyline, and I think it's funny and it's fun. But I think somewhere in the middle of the season, he's going to get back to Earth, and I think he's going to be a relevant part of the story.
Middle of the season, I think, huh?
Yeah, I think definitely by the end of the season, because it's a good B story for humor, and you know it is fun to kind of guess who the other people are in hell, and I think they'll probably like reveal some of them, but kind of just give us, you know, time to stew with that, maybe an episode or two, and I think he'll be out.
It's comic relief. Yeah. One thing we didn't mention, I wrote a note, I love that Hitler was doing the filled out crossword. That's like one of the funniest parts of the whole episode, actually. Just like, just brilliant.
Yeah. And he's like, I guess that's the point.
And the oral anal line.
Yeah,
great.
Oral and anal at the same time. Any predictions from you guys that are based solely on the show?
I mean, I kind of think I was going to talk about Eugene too, and that, you know, somebody just based on the show, I'm like, is Eugene going to become like a badass? Is he going to like end up, because I don't know anything about the character, so it's like Eugene going to end up like ruling hell, like while or, you know, like being like. Because I love this guy. I think he's like adorable, and I knew Arseface, but I don't know if Arseface is a villain. Like I totally And like, is he going to be a bad guy now? Oh, shoot. Whatever. That's going to be awesome if they do that.
Just make Hitler his bitch and just like.
Yes. Yeah. Like, that's what. And so when he. I kind of was thinking that. And then when he started kicking Hitler.
Yeah. Like, I literally thought of when Danny McBride makes Channing Tatum. Yeah. I
almost said like Channing Tatum. Yeah. But I was like.
Oh, my. Oh. Something I didn't want to hear ever again.
All right. So anybody else? Or should we do a quick.
We've got one in the chat, like Ringy90998. Maybe we'll meet a deaf person on the show because that'll be somebody else that is kind of a fool.
Yeah.
And Supernaturals use that device, you know, more than watch about people.
They would be remiss if they didn't use that.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as show predictions, I think it's worth pointing out, like, remember the foreplay we saw with them before, with him busting down the door, and then they had hot, passionate love after that.
Right.
So now he has now busted into this mansion with a bunch of armed guys and told a bunch of them to sit down and had a, you know, limb fight with this guy.
Yeah, right.
And bust into the room to save her, and you can't kill him, that's my husband. So, like, to see that polar opposite of, like, display of power, oh yeah, I'm so into you, to display of power, wait a minute, there's something I haven't told you. So I think, you know, we saw a little bit in the preview of next week, I think it's going to get dark and violent.
I wonder,
think Jesse has some
I wonder what they're going to do about the husband situation.
I think there is that. I think you're right, though, because even the way Jesse took when she was like, Jesse, you know, we can't get engaged, and he was kind of like, all right, well, okay, cool. And I was like, wow, he took that a lot better than I would. So
right.
I kind of think we're going to see some ramifications of him holding it in or something.
Yeah, he's going to be pretty upset, maybe.
Well,
yeah.
It looks like in the teaser that he uses the word on her.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty...
That's not
which
be
she
good.
Hates. She does not like that. She does not like that.
All right, guys, let's do a quick sign-off and then discuss the comic books for a couple minutes. Lucretia, where can the folks find you?
Hey, guys, you can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one.
Thank goodness.
Matt Maher.
You can find me at the Matt Maher, 2 T's, 2 R's, or you can find my website at TV or at mattmaher.tv.
Nate Miller.
Guys, you can find me on social media at DogLikeNate.
And you guys can find me at Ben Bape Media on Twitter or Instagram, or every single Wednesday on the Popcorn Talk Network talking about action movies and action movie anatomy. One movie every week, 106 weeks. Check that out. Let's do one more spoiler alert, and then we're going to talk about comic book stuff.
Spoiler alert! Spoiler alert!
And that first one off, I thought there was a problem.
So, guys, once again, this is your chance to turn it off, to turn off your phone or your podcast device or your YouTube if you don't want to hear this, but we're going to get straight into it, starting in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. All right, so I agree with you. It's too early to use the Tulip and Jesse device. The middle of the story in Preacher, where they think Jesse's dead and all that stuff happens, is such a compelling part of the story, and it's such a rich part of the story that I don't think you can go there so soon. And that's kind of what I mean about dropping the bomb so early in this, and that's why I was making those references, is like, that's such a significant event that it almost is going to like supersede the other one we're talking about, like the event that ends up being the big thing,
right?
It's like almost like you didn't even need it, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think as long as they pace it out, though, it could be very rewarding.
Yeah.
So I'm as much as I feel like they've kicked up the pace with a lot of things, I think we're just going to see more, you know, 3 or 4 episode story arcs with the major arcs in between. So, like, for example, Eugene, I don't think that we will see him, definitely not out by mid-season, maybe by the end of season. I think more likely we just get more information on what's going on in Hell and things of that nature, and maybe how he can get out or something like that, which we'll see the season after. But I think the Eugene thing is going to be much more drawn out, because it's
got
like,
it.
You know, I think we're going to see him really turn into Arsface.
Got it.
I was going to say something else too, but I don't remember.
Yeah, and I really like that they haven't name-dropped Arsface. It's like most of the other comic book shows, because all of us know who he is, and we like it. But at the same time, I like that they're not just immediately giving that, because it's sort of like we get to know this other character. You know, sort of like we did with Jesse, is we know Jesse Custer, but we sort of got to know different parts of him the way that they're writing it. And I think it's giving these characters a little bit more dimensionality for TV. And that's why I like the way that they've portrayed Cassidy in Tulip, and I don't want to see Cassidy go down the road that he does in the comics. And I'm just afraid with the way that they're setting up the love triangle, especially so soon, that we are going to get that.
I think we definitely are. It's just a question of how long, and I think a couple more seasons would have been nice. But maybe maybe they'll dangle it now, and then they'll put it on hold for a while, and it'll come back. I don't know. Maybe that's what'll happen. So that's the major stuff that I wanted to talk about. Anything else for you guys? That
I read an article that the guy who plays the Saint gave an interview.
Yeah,
and there's a pretty big spoiler for the show.
Okay.
So I don't know if I should.
It's not a comic book spoiler.
It's not.
Leave it off then.
Okay.
Yeah, I think probably let the people. Okay. If it's not comic book related, I think there's no need for us.
I agree.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that should do it. Unless you guys had anything you wanted to add.
I mean, I've never wanted to read a comic more in my life.
it's a great comic. It's my all-time favorite single comic book.
I know. Yeah. I watched the show before I was on.
Have you read Why the Last Man?
Yeah. Okay. And I love Brian K. Vaughan stuff. And I think that's a great comic book. And it's amazing that hasn't turned into a show yet.
That has to happen.
They've worked on it for so long.
I'm sure it'll happen soon.
All right, guys. That's going to do it. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. It is AfterBuzz TV on a Monday night. We'll be here same time, same place next week to cover another episode of Preacher. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. And have a great week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only. They do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.